Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio. With us, Click and Collect, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the repurposing department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yeah, well, these repurposed words came from a contest in the Washington Post where readers were asked to supply alternative meanings for common words. It's kind of a clever idea.
It is, yeah.
Here we are. I'm going to give you a few.
These are the ones you chose. Is your favorites?
Well, they were interesting. Coffee.
Yes.
Noun.
Noun, okay.
The person upon whom one coughs.
Ah, as opposed to the
cougher.
Got it.
Here's another one. Abdicate. Verb. To give up all hope of ever having a flat stomach.
I've done that abdicate. A few times.
Here's another one. Negligent. It's an adjective. Definition. Describes a condition in which you absent-mindedly answer the door in your nightgown.
I haven't done that, I don't think.
Go ahead. You do the rest. I'm tired.
Gargoyle. Come on. It's a noun. What do you think? Too late. Olive-flavored mouthwash.
See, I like it already.
Flatulence. Ooh. Another noun. Emergency vehicle that picks you up after you are run over.
I like it. Balderdash.
Yes, balderdash. I have this.
A rapidly receding hairline. That's good.
Rectitude. Noun. The formal, dignified bearing adopted by proctologists.
Okay, circumvent. An opening in the front of boxer shorts worn by Jewish men.
Hey, look, if you have a question about your car, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Dana from Charlottesville, Virginia.
Dina?
Dana.
Dana.
Yeah.
You know, I have a friend who pronounces it Dana. Now, is she just being pretentious?
Yes.
Well, I would think Dana would require two N's.
That's Dano. Book, as in Bookum Dano.
Exactly. That's why it's Dano. It's not saying Bookum Dano.
Dano. Yeah, I think it's Dana.
Dana.
And you're from where?
Charlottesville, Virginia.
Charlottesville, Virginia. Got it.
Okay, I can even spell that. What's up?
Well, I have a 85 Volkswagen Jetta, and the problem is that it jerks back violently back and forth, and my head is knocking around and bobbing in first gear. But it only does it in first gear, and it does it when you're rolling into a parking spot slowly. It does it when you're trying to accelerate from first gear. It doesn't do it in any of the other gears.
It happens as you're letting the clutch out.
Yeah, and then the plot thickens because I took it to the mechanic, and he checked the transmission. It was fine. He checked the clutch. It was fine. He cleaned out the meter box and said, maybe that'll do it. But the car is still violently jerking back and forth. And to fix it, you could
stomp on the gas pedal, and that makes it go away, huh?
Right.
Yep.
If you give it a lot of gas, it won't do it.
Yep.
The slower you let out the clutch, the worse it is.
Yep.
He cleaned out the what?
The meter
box.
The
air mass meter.
He couldn't figure it out. He had my car for 2 days, and he drove it around. And, of course, you know, it wouldn't act up for him.
Yeah.
And then he cleaned it out and said, I hope that does it because I can't figure it out.
The only cars we usually keep for more than a few days are like pickup trucks, especially if someone has to move it.
Yeah.
Well, we can't figure
it out. Won't be ready until Thursday.
Yeah, but I just came in for an oil change. Sorry. We're having trouble getting the filter.
I got
up.
A bookcase my brother has to get out of his house.
He's a good guy. He's a real good guy.
I'm sure. I'm sure he is. And like all good guys, we run into problems once in a while that we can't figure out. I'll tell you what I think it is.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, even if it isn't this, you can fix it by adjusting this.
Oh.
Or not fix it, but maybe ameliorate the situation a bit.
All right.
And I think your ignition timing is too advanced.
Oh.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. I do. Only because I've set the timing wrong on the Volkswagen. had him do this. That's the best. Experience is the best teacher, you know.
But, I mean, did this happen abruptly? One day it didn't do it and the next day it did? Or did it gradually get worse?
It's hard to tell with this car, quite honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
know,
wouldn't notice.
I can understand.
I mean, it could easily be, for example, schmutz on the clutch, grease or some kind of foreign material that's on the clutch that's causing it to grab a little bit. And a little bit of grease For example, if the transmission, if the front transmission seal is leaking, there's no fix for this except to replace the clutch.
Well, okay. Well, that'll be fun.
But if it is the timing, it's easy to check.
Oh, good.
And if nothing else, you can try retarding the timing a couple of degrees.
Okay.
And see if that helps it. And if it does, you might just get used to it.
Well, I have to say, that's a nice answer.
That's a nice answer, Ramey.
Well, it is. I mean, I thought it was the clutch. I mean, it sounds to me like schmutz on the clutch.
Well,
it's a classic case of schmutz on the clutch.
Can you say that three times in a row?
No, and I'm not going to try it.
But it, considering its age, it could easily be that. Oh, you know, clutches have built into the friction disc something called anti-chatter springs.
Huh.
And it could be that your anti-chatter springs have gone kaput.
Okay.
I should add that almost every Saab that I've driven
does this.
So try retarding the timing. If that doesn't work, you're looking at a new clutch, Dana.
Oh, yeah.
See ya. Good luck.
Thank you very, very much.
Well, you're going to need it.
Brings back. Brings back.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello. Hi, this is Shinnez calling from St. Paul.
Shinnez?
Yes.
Don't tell us. Shinnez. Yes. I got it.
You got it?
Yeah, the guys who make the whiskey, Shinnez Regal.
Oh, cool. Very good.
I got Chenaise.
That's how it sounds, but it's spelled Seniz. It's Turkish.
Oh, it's a great name.
Thank you.
And where are you from again?
I'm calling from St. Paul. I live in Minneapolis.
Okay.
But
what are you
really
in the witness protection program?
I'm at work.
Oh, okay.
Work.
I'm working at the Science Museum of Minnesota.
And what do you do at the Science Museum?
I work in the public programs department.
Which is what?
Which includes the demonstrations and theater programs.
Do you have a planetarium show?
Not necessarily. We do. It's like the gravity demonstration. It's in the
they
main.
They drop a suitcase on the floor.
Yeah, exactly. We drop things.
And there you see it, folks. Gravity. Want to see it again?
Volunteer.
Jump off of this box.
Exactly.
Do you have the light demonstration to look out this window? What do you see? That's it. That's light.
Oh, yes. It's a great department. It's just educational theater, you know.
Well, I'm glad that you're having fun, and thanks for calling. It's been nice talking to you.
Well, it's great to have a job that's fun.
Exactly. I look forward to coming to work every day.
Anyway, what's going on with your car?
My car. It's a 1997 Honda Civic LX manual. And I've been hearing this sound for a couple months now, since the summer, and it's a grinding, rattling sort of sound from right underneath the car.
Oh, yeah, this is...
Oh, my brother's been waiting for you to call all day. He hasn't used this answer for days.
It's one of two things. Either it's
he's
the
ready.
Choke pull-off...
Or it's the heat shield.
Or it's a loose heat shield.
What does that mean?
I don't know, but it's gotten us out of a lot of trouble.
Remember the re-entry demo that you did a couple of years ago?
Okay.
When the space shuttle was coming back?
Yes.
And
they had
heat shields.
A heat shield.
All right.
Remember that?
Yes.
Well, your catalytic converter.
Are you a science major?
I'm not.
You're an English major, aren't you?
Theater.
Yes. Theater of the mind.
Yes, exactly.
Theater major.
Yes.
And you're organizing these technical demonstrations.
Yes.
So you really do stand on this chair.
I really do say stand on this chair.
But you say when you jump, like throw your arms out.
and flap your arms.
Right.
And try to kick your heels together.
Exactly.
And see a little plié.
And think really hard.
I love it.
Well, anyway, to get back to the topic at hand, the catalytic converter is the piece of the exhaust system that gets the hottest.
Okay.
And there's a sheet metal shield that goes around the top and bottom of it. Mm-hmm. The top part of the shield is so that the inside of your car, i.e. the carpet, doesn't catch fire. And the lower part of the shield is designed so that you don't set your driveway on fire.
Or leaves that are under
it. If your driveway happens to be made out of leaves, right?
Right.
But that thing, it's held on by little...
And it has a third purpose. To rattle. Otherwise, my brother would be short an answer. At least once per show.
Its third and most important purpose.
Is to rattle. So that people all over the country
wonder.
Can call and ask about this funny noise.
And this thing is held on by little 10-millimeter bolts, you know, the 10-millimeter head on them.
So that makes sense, because in the summertime, it was much louder.
You had the windows open.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Remember the sound demonstration we did a couple of months ago?
I was ready to do a sound demonstration for you, too.
Oh, well, go ahead. Far be it from us.
Okay, but you have to imagine that my mouth is made of metal.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, ready? Something like that.
I love it.
Is it anything that's going to make, do I need to get it fixed?
No.
Okay.
You needn't get it fixed.
Yes.
At some point, it will annoy you so much that you'll pay anything.
Okay.
But wait until that time.
Okay.
Now you can get it done for $10. But when you get desperate, it'll be $50.
Right.
Okay.
But don't worry about it.
All right. Thank you so much.
Our pleasure.
Shanice, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
It has been a great pleasure, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, hi, guys. This is Mark T. from Danville, Pennsylvania.
Danville.
Yeah, where there's more trees than stuff to do.
Where's Danville?
It's central Pennsylvania.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
And my question is about driving style here today, not cars, per se. So when I drive on the highway, I like to straighten out the curves.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're thinking.
Good.
I know, you're so nuts.
When the road bends to the left, I like to shift over into the passing lane and hug the inside of the curve.
Exactly.
And I believe this is the
most... do you frequently find yourself running from the left lane right across three or four lanes of traffic over to the right lane? Just shoop, straight over.
It's been known to happen.
It's been known to happen.
Yeah.
But there's nobody on the road where you are, right?
Well, hardly.
Not anymore.
They used to be.
Anyway, I think this is the most efficient way to drive. I think it saves gas. I think it saves wear and tear on the tires, and it makes the trip quicker.
Oh, absolutely. And the best thing is, you're wearing out the road surface evenly. You're using all the lanes, man.
That's good to know. All right. I was on a trip with my wife recently.
Yeah.
And she asked me why I kept changing lanes. So I explained this theory of efficiency to her.
Yeah.
And she gave me the dope look.
Yeah. Did she shake her head?
Yeah.
And roll
her
eyes?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
See, women don't, I mean, even if you could convince your wife that it's mechanically.
Yeah. Scientifically.
It's scientifically sound reasoning behind this.
Well, the real issue here is, why do guys do these things and women don't have the faintest idea what you're talking about? And even when they do, they want to know, why would you ever think about it to that extent? You're only driving the darn car. Whenever I'm going someplace with my wife, I think about how I'm going to get there. And I discuss it. Let's see. I could go up Route 9. And then when I get to the intersection of blank and blank, I can hang a left there, and then I can take a right onto Hammond Pond Parkway, and then I'll be right there. And she says, just go there. What? And I said, well, you know, there are 500 different ways I can do this. She says, well, just pick one and shut up. She doesn't want to discuss it. Whereas I find it fascinating. She says, I don't care if it's just let's go.
And your wife doesn't care either. And once you've convinced her that the scientific principles behind your actions are legitimate, it will make no difference. She will never do it. You know that.
Well, I know that. I just wanted to stop preventing me from doing it.
See, my wife gave up. She just says, do whatever you want. Just don't tell me about it.
And shut up. I assume when you're doing this, you're putting on your directional. Is there a special signal for changing four lanes at once? Does it blink like three times faster?
Yeah. You leave it on four times as long or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I find myself, I will do that. We have some curvy roads here.
Yeah.
And when there's no one else on the road, if I'm driving early in the morning especially, I never do it at night because you never know what's going to happen at night. But I will tend to flatten out the curves.
Yeah.
When I'm alone in the car, especially. Okay. I never do
it. Alone in the car is the operative advice here.
I would say. Yeah.
I would refrain from this when your wife is in the car.
Yeah. I mean, it can't get you anything. It's not going to make you any points.
No.
She thinks you're crazy. And it's better that she not know.
No, I think she may know.
Well,
what other peculiar things do you engage in that might reinforce her belief that you're crazy? Are there any that you care to divulge to us and 3.5 million listeners?
Well, I do like to have all the bills in my wallet facing the same way.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know what you need? You need
a hobby.
Yeah. See, right now your hobby is this lane change thing. And you need to get a real hobby. You need to be built like model ships. Really, I think you need to come up with something. I mean, do you have any hobbies?
No.
Yeah. Maybe you need an old car to restore.
Why doesn't she drive? See, what happens now is my wife drives every place because she can't stand the way I drive.
No, Mark can't be in the car with his wife driving.
Well, take up knitting.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
And sit in the back seat.
Hey, good luck, Mark.
Okay,
thanks for calling. It was a very interesting question.
See you later, man.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right, look, before we give the answer to last week's puzzler, we have to take a short break.
Yeah, my brother's donut gauge only says a quarter full.
We'll be back in a minute. I don't want no Cadillac.
And even though NPR's CEO lists us both on petfinder.com whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a jackhammer operator and miss grating noises when you get home.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. Now, here it is. I'm sure you'll remember it in a minute.
I remember it already.
You do?
Yeah.
Cool. Let's say you have two decks of playing cards, 52 cards each, you know, regular cards.
Yeah.
And you put both decks together and shuffle them up.
Got it.
So you've got 104 cards all shuffled together. Then you split them back into two equal piles. So you haven't looked at them now. You're in a traditional manner.
Mm-hmm.
You've just counted them out. So you have a pile of 52 on one side. We'll call that pile A. And a pile of 52 cards on the other side. And they're all mixed up.
Pile two.
Here's the question. What are the chances that the number of red cards in pile A equals the number of black cards in pile B? And question two, or B, how many cards do you have to look at to be sure of your answer?
Yeah.
Well,
I happen to know the answer.
Imagine. Go ahead.
The chances are one.
Yeah, well, 100%.
100%.
Imagine if you, let's say by some luck, you shuffled up all these cards and all the red cards wound up in one pile. We'll call that pile A. Mm-hmm. And for simplicity's sake, we'll call the other pile B. And all the black cards wound up in that. Then, yeah. then you would say, well, certainly, the number of red cards in deck A or pile A equals the number of black cards in pile B.
Yes.
Now, I ask you to construct a scenario where it wouldn't be the case. Always.
How about 1 and 51?
Exactly. Take a card out of pile A and donate it to pile B. But right. When you do that, you must reciprocate.
Right.
You must take a black card from pile B and donate it to pile A,
mm-hmm.
and therefore you have 51 and 1 and 51 and 1. And no matter how you do this, if you wind up with 52 cards in each pile, and this is like, remember the puzzle years ago where you had a thing of water and a thing of wine? You took a teaspoon of wine and put it in the...
Oh, that one.
Same thing.
And part B of the question... How many cards do you have to look at to verify your answer?
None.
None.
Not a one.
Isn't that a great...
Well, card. You think it's great because you got the answer. If you hadn't got the answer, you'd be all over this thing.
For one thing, the answer was a given. Because when you said, what are the chances?
I gave it away, you mean?
You gave it away. I mean, what are the chances? Are you expecting someone to say 12 out of 49?
Yeah.
Or 0.2375?
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone who would have thought that that was the answer would have given up. And the only ones who would have not given up would be the ones who said the answer either has to be 0 or 1.
Okay, that's true. Anyway, who's our winner this week?
The winner this week is Russ Bishop from Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. You know what that is?
Of course.
Of course.
Home of Punxsutawney Phil.
Punxsutawney Phil. And for having his answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Russ is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division of CarTalk.com. And with that gift certificate, he can have his choice of any of the Car Talk regalia that we have there.
I understand we've got lots of stuff in stock right now from all the post-Christmas returns.
Yes, there's an excellent selection available.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show, so stay tuned. If you have a question about your car, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. This is Andy Gross from Corvallis, Oregon. How you doing?
Hi, Andy. What's going on?
Corvallis.
I have a 93 Subaru Legacy. It's got about 218,000 miles on it.
Jeez.
And the problem is that I feel naked as I'm driving down the road.
Oh.
And at first I checked and I made sure that my pants were on. But then I realized that sort of like the root of my problem was that my seatbelt, this 93 Subaru has like an automatic seatbelt. You know, it sort of like starts on this track and when you close the door.
Motorized.
The problem is that it stopped sort of like a third of the way along its track.
Oh.
And it won't move from that position.
Does it go? Does it try to move?
You know, the little carriage where the seatbelt buckles into,
yeah.
It stays put, but I hear some sort of little mechanism, like clicking on and off, like just behind my ear. It's on the driver's side that it happened on. And
yeah.
So,
yeah. I think the motor for that thing is in the pillar, which is right next to your left shoulder. It's called the B pillar of the car.
Right.
And that's what's wrong with it.
And the way that thing works is it got a plastic tape that actually pulls the belt along. It's like a little rack and pinion mechanism. It's got a plastic tape with gear teeth on it. And it's probably just stripped.
Oh, interesting, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, don't forget, for 218,000 miles, you've been getting in the car, getting out of the car, getting in the car, getting out of the car. Imagine how much worse it would be if you were a delivery guy.
It would have broken 10 years ago.
So it you know, those things have to break eventually. So you need to replace the whole shebang probably. And I think we've tried to buy these in the past from junkyards, you know, recycling yards.
Right.
And we haven't had much luck finding them.
Oh,
so you're probably going to have to buy a brand new one. And the truth is, if you find the used one, it may not be much better than or last much longer than the one you have now.
Right.
But it's going to be expensive to fix this.
I see. Can I put it in myself, like if I get the new part?
Yeah.
I would think so, yeah.
Granted, you don't know anything about my mechanical.
Well, that's why we're not giving you a full vote of confidence here.
Have you ever installed
a
water heater in your basement?
Yes to both.
Then you are fully qualified to replace this little motor.
Okay. Yeah,
and I think what you should do is you should just take off all the trim stuff.
Right.
And look at what you're dealing with. You may say, oh, this is a piece of cake, because it basically really is a bunch of screws.
Perfect.
You know, and I think it's something that's within your grasp.
I had a similar problem just this morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you forget to put your pants on?
No. I had to replace.
Thank God we're sitting at a table.
Well, here's the interesting thing. It's a simple job. I had to replace a shoelace.
Wow.
And I tell you.
Is it difficult?
I mean, look at this. I'm showing my brother. Notice how those shoelaces are on there?
I would have just thrown the shoes out, quite honestly. If you had a look at these things, you would know they're not worth a pair of shoelaces.
And, I mean, it took me 20 minutes to put one shoelace on.
So we're not letting him replace any motorized seatbelts.
Yeah, right. I'll do it myself, thanks.
Good luck, Andy. Call us if you get in trouble. We'll email you the instructions. See you later, man.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey.
Hey.
My name is Katie. I live in Durham, California.
Durham, California?
Where the heck is Durham, California?
The land of the nuts and fruits.
Oh, you're in the San Joaquin Valley.
North in the Sacramento Valley.
About
90 miles north of Sacramento.
Boy, you know, I'm always amazed at how much stuff is grown in California. You probably don't have an appreciation for it because you've been there your whole life.
Not exactly. We moved from Syracuse, New York.
You have to have a great appreciation. I mean, have you driven the area, obviously, and seen the stuff? It's amazing.
It is amazing.
California feeds the whole country.
Thank you.
I hope it doesn't slide into the ocean in the near future. So anyway, Katie, what's shaking?
Well, an 88 Mercury Marquis. And the shake is only in the front.
Oh,
well, there is
shaking.
A shake. Get out. I was using a figure of speech.
I know.
Yeah.
Here's my question.
Yeah.
The Mercury, when I turn on the left-hand signal, the blinker goes blink, 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 blink.
Mm-hmm.
When I turn on the right-hand signal, just the opposite.
Bonk, 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 bonk.
Right.
Yeah. It means there's a light out on the left side.
The right one's working correctly.
But here's the puzzler.
Yeah?
I had an 89 Subaru wagon that did the exact same thing.
And?
My girlfriend has a 70-something Volvo, and her car does the exact same thing.
They all have the same problem.
You know why?
No.
Because you're living on the left coast.
That's it.
Yeah, and if you take a left turn there, you'll be right in the ocean. And so it's warning you. When you say left turn, it's saying, no, don't do it. What are you, crazy?
So all the cars in California are plotting against us. They want us all to go to the right.
Exactly.
To the right. But all of those cars really do have the same problem. There's a bulb probably not working in the front or the back on the left side.
Or a bad ground or some such thing. I mean, many cars will have more than one directional bulb in the front or back. And if one of them, for example, is out in the left rear, when you turn the thing on, one of them will blink in the left rear. The one in the front, the left front, will blink, but it'll cause because there's not enough resistance in the circuit, it causes the flasher to actuate faster. So you get blink, 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 blink.
And it's a message to you that check the bulbs because something is wrong.
So here's what you do: turn on the key, turn on the right blinker, and notice how many lights light up, because that side's working correctly.
Yeah,
and
you can get out of the car and you can just walk back and forth and look.
And then you can do the same thing with the left, and you'll say, "Aha. I've got a dead bulb."
You're so clever. Thank you.
Isn't that easy?
We are clever if you ask a simple question.
So what are you doing in Durham?
Picking nuts.
Are you really?
No.
You lied to us?
Who would have figured? But the blinker problem really exists.
But you obviously recently relocated from Syracuse to Durham.
My husband teaches at the State College here, in just 10 miles north of us.
Oh, yeah. What does he teach?
Exercise physiology.
Is that a good living?
You know, it's better than being free for public radio.
All right, rub it in. All right.
Okay.
All right. You have your MIT degree.
Yeah, but we
could have been contenders.
We could have been somebody's. Instead, we're a couple of losers.
Yeah.
By the way,
I'm listening.
Are there any jobs out there picking nuts? Because we have the summer off.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I can see it now. Two nuts picking nuts.
There you go.
See you, Katie.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
You know what time it is now?
Time to put the trailer hook on the MG and tow the whole building down to South Beach?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps. This is the part of the show where we dig up a caller from a previous show to see if our advice made someone happy.
Oh, other than the mechanic with the huge boat payment doing it. So who's our lucky contestant this week?
It's Ed from Johnson City, Tennessee. You remember Ed, don't you?
No, help me out, will you?
Ed called us back in the summer because his Grand Cherokee had three different problems. The engine was pinging.
Mm-hmm.
The oil pressure would drop precipitously. And it was belching blue smoke. And old Ed wanted to know if there was anything that can cause all three problems.
One of the things that causes pinging is incorrect timing. We know that.
Right.
But another thing that causes it is excessively high engine operating temperature.
Yes.
That also causes low oil pressure.
Okay.
Okay. And I don't know about the blue smoke, but the blue... two out of three ain't bad, right, Ed?
Well, it's asphyxiated about five people behind me at a traffic light.
I mean, is this blue smoke coming out all the time?
No. It does it, you know, every now and then. I mean, you'll be sitting at a traffic light.
And all of a sudden, you're enveloped in smoke.
And all of a sudden, it's like...
Oh, how well I know it. Yeah.
Yeah, Tommy had a 56 Chevy that used to do
it. Oh, man.
Exactly. But it didn't do it sporadically. It did it every single time he drove it.
And at an extended light, the car would disappear. I would be sitting there, and all of a sudden, I'd be gone. Oh, yeah. Those were the good old days, man.
Well, I'll say, if we could only get you to disappear now. Anyway, is that what we told him?
Yeah, we told him to have the engine operating temperature checked and look for a source of overheating, like the thermostat, for instance.
Geez, I'm beginning to dislike it all. Let's see how we did. Ed, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Look, before we find out what actually happened, we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk. Is that true?
That's correct. Mm.
And that the answer you're about to give here on Stump the Chumps has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of National Public Radio, or by the EPA Superfund money we got to clean up your Jeep?
Not in the least.
All right. So anyway, was the problem excessive engine operating temperature?
Yes.
It was?
Well, and you know, mostly.
Mostly?
Mostly.
Yeah, mostly.
What'd you find out?
Well, I started to take your advice and leave it in the mountains and
hike out.
And then I realized I didn't have any moon pies with me to pass out to the people that lived up there as I was walking out. So I decided the best thing to do was have the engine flushed and a new thermostat put in.
Uh-huh.
And that has solved 95% of the problem.
Excellent.
It didn't solve the problem with the smoke, though, did it?
Yeah.
It did.
Yes.
It did.
So now, and now your oil pressure is up, too?
Oil pressure is up. It actually uses more gas than oil now. And
That's good because oil prices are way up, you know.
Right. let's see. Yeah, it pretty much solved it. Doesn't ping nearly as much. Oil pressure is a lot more stable and doesn't consume nearly as much oil, although it did create one problem.
What? What's that?
Well, see, I put in a thermostat with a lower opening temperature.
Uh-huh.
So when the cold air blows out, my wife gets really hot with you guys.
You need to put in the right thermostat so you'll get the right amount of heat.
Okay.
So it's fixed.
Yeah, I was amazed.
I'm glad I didn't recant. Yeah, we were amazed too, Ed.
You were hedging a lot there for a while.
I started to listen to what we had talked about. You know, we play back a little portion of the call here, and I'm listening to it, and I say, oh, geez, this sounds bogus. But and then again, I never put it past our staff to find a caller to put on Stump the Chumps where they know that we screwed up. You know, so I figured this is a perfect setup, and I was about to jump ship, but I'm glad I didn't.
Yeah.
And the only reason I didn't is I didn't have another answer. Anyway, thanks for playing Stump the Chumps, Ed.
Okay.
See you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
If you hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, please email us your suggestion from cartalk.com.
Hey, listen, we need to take a quick break. The president of the network just came by, and apparently he wants to have a word with us.
A word? One word? What could he possibly convey to us in one word?
Sayonara?
Well, stay tuned. We'll be right back with a brand new puzzler in just a minute. Maybe.
Got a brand new Mustang GT. Looks like it was made just for me. Sitting in the driveway, nowhere to go. I can't pay for gas no more. Stuck and stranded, feeling kind of blue. Real frustrated, I don't know what to do. Me and my baby have a date. Supposed to pick her up right at 8. Paid for gas, oh my car will run. Used all my money, there goes our fun.
stuck and stranded, feeling kind of blue, real frustrated, I don't know what to do.
And even though hibernating bears wake up, then take a double dose of Lunesta whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
I can hardly wait.
This comes from the days of knights and kings and fair maidens.
And people named Rowena.
Rowena, there you go. Turns out that the fair maiden Rowena wishes to wed.
Huh.
And her father, the evil king, has devised a way to drive...
Raymond, the evil king Raymond.
to drive off suitors.
Yeah.
And he has a little quiz for them, and here it is.
And the white knight, Tommy.
More like green.
Can we work him in? Okay.
He has a quiz for the suitors. And here it is. It's very simple. There are three boxes on the table, okay? One is made of gold.
Mm-hmm.
One is made of silver. And the third is made
out of
lead.
Lead.
Okay. Lead.
Yeah.
Okay? Inside one of these boxes is a picture of the fair Rowena.
Yeah.
And it is the job of the knight, the white knight, to figure out which one, without opening them, of course,
yeah,
which one has her picture. Now, yeah, to assist him in this endeavor are inscriptions on each of the boxes.
Oh, this is interesting already.
You've got to pay attention now.
Yeah, I want to write this down.
You got to write this down. Get a pencil and write this down. The gold box says...
Gold says... Uh-huh.
Rowena's picture is in this box.
In here, okay. Yeah.
The silver box says,
mm-hmm,
the picture ain't in this box.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Yeah.
The lead box says, the picture ain't in the gold box.
Oh, I got the question already.
you do? Yeah, where's the picture? Because no. If he opens the box with the picture, he gets the girl.
Yeah, but he also gives him a hint, right? He's going to give him a hint.
Yes.
He's going to say all the labels are wrong.
No, the hint is one of the statements... And only one is true.
Excellent!
The question is, where's the picture? And when he sees the picture, is he still going to want her?
One of the statements is true.
One and only one of the statements is true. Okay. The three statements are, on the gold box, it says, the picture's in the gold box.
Mm-hmm.
On the, what was the next box? The silver box.
Silver.
The picture ain't in this box.
Yeah.
And on the lead box, it says, the picture... ain't in the gold box.
Well, I got the answer already.
Well, guess who's you're a genius. I mean, come on. I mean, give the rest of us a chance. Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a $26 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
Matt02238, or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. But if you'd like to call us, of course... The number, as always, is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
I am, aren't I?
You are.
You are. And you know what? So are we. Isn't that interesting?
Who are you?
What are the chances of that?
I just can't believe it. It's such a treat to hear your voices and be able to say hello to you. My name is Wynn, or Winnie.
Hi, Winnie.
Winnie or Wynn, either one.
All right.
And I live in Maine. I'm a little old lady, and I live in a village called Cumberland.
Okay.
And it's been snowing, and it's just absolutely gorgeous out.
Sure, because you're not going to shovel it, are you?
No, I'm not.
Because you're a little old lady, and you're going to call someone with a plow.
That's
and you're
going right.
to sit there, and it'll be gorgeous to watch the plow get stuck in the snow,
will.
Too. Where is Cumberland, like, way, 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 way up there?
No, it isn't. I'll tell you, Cumberland is just past Portland, before you get to Freeport.
Got it.
So what's up, Wynn?
Well, I have a funny problem, and people don't take it very seriously,
well,
but I do.
We'll take it seriously because, as you know, we take everything seriously.
I know you do.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, Wynn.
Well, here's the deal. I've got a terrific car. It's a Ford. Ford Escort, and it's a 93.
Got it.
And it's a station wagon, and it's a stick shift.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the only way to deal with winters up in Maine.
Yes, indeed.
You got it.
Okay, so I have this neat little car, and about 2 years ago,
I came to a red light rather unexpectedly. It had turned very fast.
Turned very red.
Oh, yeah. You mean I had just installed it that minute.
Okay.
And I haven't been there before. Where'd that light come from? Yeah, I've seen them.
Okay. So yeah. I stopped for the light by putting my foot on the clutch and on the brake, but I do not have time to downshift. In fact, I don't even touch the stick. I'm so busy making sure that I'm settling in and not hitting anybody.
Yeah, right.
Okay, now I'm stopped. I'm dead stopped. The engine's running, and I reach for the stick. I don't know. There's somebody inside that engine holding on to it. Mm. It is stuck. It is locked. I cannot get out a fifth, and I can't take off when the light changes.
Mm.
And 5 minutes later, I ease and push, pull, and shove, and finally get the stick shift down into neutral, and I start again.
Yeah.
This has happened about 5 or 6 times.
Huh.
And I think it's scary. And I've asked people. I've gone to the Ford dealer, who have been always marvelous about fixing things. They're really terrific here. But it's something they've never heard of, and they don't know what to do about it.
Well, I've never heard of it either. When?
You haven't?
No.
But it won't stop
from
coming up with an answer.
I got 3 theories already.
Hey, you think if Isaac Newton had never heard of gravity? I mean, if he said, well, I never heard of it, therefore I can't think anything about it.
Right.
I just don't believe you can't help me. No. Scratch your brains.
Well, Doug Berman was going, ooh, 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 in the studio. Into my headphones.
Really?
Because
he's got a theory too.
He knows the answer, and I have to agree with him.
No kidding.
Well, what is it?
Yeah. Well, I'll let my brother give you his 3 ideas first, because
I got one.
It will give me time to refine.
Big idea.
Okay.
And it might even have been done.
Nothing to do with fraud or embezzlement.
Nothing to do with fraud or embezzlement. It has to do with motor mounts.
There you go.
Is that Dougie's idea, too?
Dougie's that.
Dougie, get away, man! He must be right, because if we both thought of it, what
motor,
else?
Motor mouth?
Mouth.
No, that's us. We're the motor mouths. No, motor mount.
M-O-U-N-T-S, like a horse
mount.
Is a mount.
Oh, okay. I thought I had mice in my
car. And the motor mounts are those rubber and metal things which hold the engine in its cradle.
Okay.
And prevent it from moving around too much and, most importantly, falling out on the street.
Okay.
And they also sort of absorb the shock of the vibrations of the engine as it's doing what it has to do.
And these motor mounts hold not only the motor, but in your car, of course, the transmission.
Yes.
And if one of them is broken, it's possible that when you come to a sudden stop like this and the motor shifts because the mount is broken, it is shifting the thing in such a peculiar manner that it locks it in gear because it's actually moving the shift linkage in a way that it wasn't designed to move.
And is it expensive?
No.
No. Now,
other good news.
I think it would be educational to hear my brother's other ideas because I think one of them involved rodents.
Okay.
I refuse to divulge my other theories.
Okay.
Because they were only backup theories. And I was going with the motor mounts all the way.
But have your dealer check the motor mounts. I'd be willing to bet.
Yes.
That one of those motor mounts is worn out or broken.
Now, does that mean taking the transmission out?
Oh, no, it's a very
simple. This is simple.
Really?
Oh,
yeah.
You're going to love
that's
this.
It's causing the whole engine transmission combination to shift in its cradle.
Yeah.
And that's causing the shifter to shift this thing into fifth gear, but it's doing it in such a manner that's like half in fifth and half in second, and that's why it gets locked.
Okay.
And if you sit there and play with it and jiggle and curse enough,
eventually
you'll get it out as the engine kind of settles back into where it should be.
Do you curse when this happens? Do little old ladies curse when these things happen?
They really do, yes.
You do?
They do that.
I'm shocked. I mean, I know that men would curse, but I thought little old ladies would say...
Well, I'm in such a panic. Yes, land
consarn it or something. I mean, is that what you call a curse, consarn it?
Maybe I can go do a little better.
That's a vicious oath, as we say. Okay.
Yes.
Hey, good luck, Wynn.
Hey, thanks a bunch, and Happy New Year.
You
same
too.
To you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Dr. Paul from Dallas, Texas calling.
Hi, Dr. Paul.
Yes.
Is that first name or last name?
No, that's my first name.
Yeah, all right. He wouldn't give his last name.
No, your friends might, colleagues might be listening.
And where are you from, Doc?
I'm originally from the Northeast, but right now I'm living in Dallas, Texas, and I feel like I've been living in a country western song for the past year.
Really?
About a year ago, I'm in a horrible car accident. While I'm in the hospital, they find that I have cancer. My wife leaves me. I've been recovering for the past year since then.
Did your dog die?
And my dog died. And now you're
on Car Talk. It just doesn't stop.
And now I'm on Car Talk. Well, what I find out now, okay, I'm just out of the hospital, and I'm driving the insurance rental car because I don't have my own car now.
Of course not. It got totaled in the accident.
It got totaled in the accident. And so I find that now I'm in a market for a car. And my friends have been pointing out to me that, you know, this is an important decision because you've got a new lease on life. Mm-hmm. You've got a chance for a new wife.
Yeah.
You know, and so you got to pick the right car. And
so sure.
Okay, so I'm asking, you know, so that I attract the right woman. And so that's why I'm asking you guys.
Everyone's definition of the right woman is different. And you tell us what you're looking for.
In a woman.
In a woman. And then we'll, first of all, correct that. And then we'll go ahead and recommend a car.
You know, yeah, go ahead.
Well, you know, I'm thinking someone who's down to earth, loyal, and cute.
Down to earth?
You want a Labrador Retriever.
with blonde hair, and I'm there, you know?
loyal and cute, down to earth. Yeah.
You know, I like to do some sports things, but, you know, I also, you know, I like to go skiing and camping, but
you want an outdoorsy type, not necessarily, but you'd like, in other words, you don't want...
Who also wouldn't mind going to the museum and the arts, you know, those kind of...
Oh, come on, would you?
So you're not looking for a burned-out country western teased hair?
No.
So you want outdoorsy maybe, but yet intellectual... You want someone who's not going to say, I don't want to go to the museum.
Right. Someone who's willing to go with the flow.
Go with the flow. Ah.
And you don't want this gal to fall in love with you because you're driving a $55,000 Toyota Land Cruiser necessarily.
No.
What do you drive? What did you drive that you racked up?
I had a Buick LeSabre.
Oh, you kidding me?
That was big.
Oh, no, that's the wrong car.
Well, but that was a married guy's car.
Oh, yeah.
Right, your wife probably insisted on that car. Yeah, you weren't going to pick up any babes with a Buick LeSabre.
Well, you are, but you wouldn't call them babes.
Right, and they got blue hair. They may have been babes at one point. So what age group are you looking at?
Well.
18 to what?
Well, that sounds like a good place to start.
But what's the upper limit? I don't have an upper limit. That tells you something.
Right.
So you go on 18 to what, like 40s?
40s, yeah.
40s.
18.
And you must be 60 then.
I'm in my 40s.
I see you in a Jeep Grand Cherokee. Really?
Hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
It says that you're self-sufficient, independent, and you're relatively well off without being... show-offy, you know, and egocentric.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah. So I think the Jeep Grand Cherokee does it for me.
Hmm.
Because it'll attract, you know, a woman who's not afraid to jump up into the seat and doesn't necessarily want her door held open for her. You're gonna get away from the princesses.
Yeah, you don't want a princess, is that right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, Adam, yeah. Tried that. Been there, done that.
Yeah.
I'm getting too old for that.
Yeah. I would, you know what to do? You need to rent a few vehicles and see how it works out. I would get a weekly rental on a Jeep Grand Cherokee. And just
can do that.
Yeah, and try a few dates.
And see what happens.
Yeah.
Huh.
Now, if you're looking for the 18 to 22-year-old, you can't beat a Volkswagen Beetle.
Now, I've asked a couple waitresses, and they keep on saying the Beetle because they think it's a cute car.
Oh, see, you did the research, man. You asked the target market what they like.
When I test drove that vehicle, if I didn't have the doors locked, God knows how many young babes would have jumped in the front seat.
Yeah, I didn't have the doors locked.
No, I knew that.
No one jumped in.
No one jumped in.
They came close until they saw who was in there, and then they ran the other way.
But you might want to try the Volkswagen too.
And never forget the power of the Mazda Miata. See, and this the Mazda Miata has the added benefit that even if you don't scoop any babes, you're driving around in a Mazda Miata.
I almost forgot. More important.
The dog.
More important than the vehicle is a puppy.
A puppy?
You gotta have.
Man.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. I mean, you could be driving around in a Rambler, and if you got a puppy in the front seat, you're in Fat City.
Yeah. But now, if you got a Miata, you only got, you know, where do you put the girl? You got the puppy and then...
The dog is going to have to run alongside.
Good luck. And we'll be calling from time to time to see how you're making out, so to speak.
Thanks.
Good luck, Doc.
Good luck.
Take care, guys.
I hope you feel better.
Well, it happened again. You've underutilized another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk.
Who's our esteemed producer?
Well... Doug, the subway fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Frogman Berman.
Oh, no kidding.
And our associate producers are David, the calves of Belleville Green, Carly, High Voltage Nix, and Catherine, Frau Blucher, Fenelosa. Our web blackie is Doug, the old gray mare, assisted by Connie Britchford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from his triumph at the West Tisbury Weight Watchers Worcestershire Wheatgrass and Water Diet Way Off, is John Bugsy Lawler.
Who's our public opinion pollster?
Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marjorie Overa. Our customer care representative is, guess who? Hey, would you buzz off? Our long-distance truck driver is Etienne Wheeler, and our solicitor of new ideas is Obi Quiet.
Yeah.
Our sexual harassment investigator is Hank Pankey. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Ottavindo. Our eBay specialist is Zelma Junkoff. Our computer hardware specialist is C:\Backslash. Our chief benefactor...
I like him.
...is Myra Chunkle. The president of the Disgruntled Hatchback Owners Club is Ivana Trunk. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter.
Who's our chief counsel?
From the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to CIA operatives posing as drunken accordion players in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click & Collect, the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1301, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our 25th anniversary swag all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, what's the ugliest car now in production?
And it has to be currently in production.
Yeah.
Well, that rules out whatever's in your driveway. Actually, I don't know the answer, but there's a hot discussion going on right now at our website about which new car desperately needs to come standard with a car cover.
There's some real disagreement among our listeners.
Well, ugly, you know, is in the eye of the beholder.
That's right.
And you can behold now with your opinion in the discussion section of cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though NPR management forwards us Antarctic tractor repair job postings whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.